You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 24th of November 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, there's been a lot of talk recently about some division in the Trump defense team, and this is based around the Trump team sending out a tweet distancing themselves from Sidney Powell, and this coincided with Tucker Carlson also, claiming that Sidney Powell doesn't actually have any evidence, and people have got all disheartened by this and dismayed by this. But I don't think Sidney Powell has actually been working with the Trump team anyway. She sent out a tweet saying that she has always been representing the American people, and I think her part of the case is a civil rights case, because it's the whole of America that's been defrauded by this Dominion voting system, the software. I'm sure most of your listeners are already aware of the allegations that this software that was in place in all the swing states that Texas rejected, they refused to use it because it was too open to being hacked. And we actually saw on CNN and various of the mainstream news sources on the night of the election, we watched the votes being switched. Trump's votes, his tally suddenly went down, and they went down by the number that Biden's tally went up. So we actually saw this happening on the election night, so that there is plenty of evidence for this. And this is what Sidney Powell has been investigating. And she claims that when it's revealed, it will have an effect of biblical proportions. And she's calling it the Kraken, and I think this is quite correct. I have high hopes for this. I think that this could take down the whole rotten system. People have also been getting disheartened because they've been saying, well, Donald Trump is losing these battles in these swing states. Well, according to the Trump team, they haven't actually put any of their evidence across yet. It's actually been private people that have been trying to get the election overturned because of all the fraud that they saw going on. And this is going on in courts which have Democrat judges in the Democrat-held cities. And of course, they're just throwing out these cases. And when they throw out these cases, it means that you appeal them, and you appeal them to a higher court. And if they keep getting thrown out, eventually you get to the Supreme Court, which is what the Trump team are hoping for anyway. They want this to go to the Supreme Court. So the fact that the Democrat judges are throwing this out and the BBC are saying, oh, all these cases are without merit, that's what they want to happen anyway, because they want to get this out of the hands of the Democrat judges and to unbiased judges in the Supreme Court, where there is a balance there, where some of the judges are Republican, some of the judges are Democrat. So at least you have a balance there. And in these corrupt Democrat cities, which we know are corrupt because they've been found to be corrupt in the past with various elections, as Giuliani has pointed out, there is a likelihood that there will be corruption amongst these judges there as well, which could be what we're seeing. So I wouldn't lose hope just yet that Trump isn't going to be re-elected and reinstalled for a second term. I think that he will be. I think the Biden team are particularly scared that this is going to happen, so they're going all out in trying to legitimize him as the president-elect, even though a lot of these results have not yet been certified and the election itself is in question. All the while that you have these court cases pending, then the election is in question, nobody should be announcing that they are the president-elect. So the fact that he has really implies that there's something else that is going on there. And also, if Joe Biden had won honestly and fairly and squarely, he would be saying, well, let's have an investigation. We can't have people making these allegations. They need to be fully investigated. And until they are fully investigated, we can't actually confirm what the results are yet. And he hasn't done that, which implies that, as I say, it implies that he knows full well that the only reason why he is in the position he is now in is because of fraud, because his Democratic voters have engaged in wide-scale fraud. Now, on top of this, we have another rumor that is circulating around the internet that George Soros has been arrested. And when you first hear that, you think, oh, yeah, well, that can't be true. But when you look into it, it could possibly be true. And it's appearing on various websites. I've got a report from the Conservative Beaver, which is a Canadian website, which is looking into this. They say George Soros has been arrested and is currently in federal custody in Philadelphia, according to what appears to be a recently unsealed indictment filed in the West District of Pennsylvania. Soros committed a slew of serious crimes prior to the US election. The document originally appeared on a variety of lesser-known darknet websites before being shared widely on the open net and eventually Twitter and Facebook. The indictment focuses only on the criminal activity Soros allegedly participated in prior to the election, such as wire fraud, identity theft, and damage to computers. None of these claims have been proven in court, and Soros is believed innocent until proven guilty. Now, you would think that if this wasn't true, that Soros would appear somewhere and would say, this isn't true, because this is now really picking up a lot of traction, particularly in Canada. They make an allegation later on in this report that there's the equivalent of a D notice that's been slapped on it in America, and that's why American websites aren't reporting on this. But these Canadian websites are reporting on it, and all George Soros would have to do is come out there and say, here I am, I'm not in custody, to prove that this was false, and he hasn't done that. Some social media users have speculated that Soros's alleged arrest was due to the investigation currently being conducted by Keenan Bexty of Rebel News. Bexty's investigative reports are spread to Trump's former lawyer, Sidney Powell, as she cited Rebel News evidence in a recent press conference. And Keen Bexter here says, here is the video of Sidney Powell referring to our blockbuster coverage of Dominion voting sharing office space with Soros organizations. There is more coming. This is a leftist hive story dropping soon. So here's this Sidney Powell connection. It's also been alleged that Trump has dropped Sidney Powell because she's been taking her information from conspiracy theory websites. Perhaps that is the reference to Rebel News here. In the Giuliani press conference, the Trump team conference the other day, Giuliani himself alleged, I believe, that there was a Soros connection here. And this is the connection. But the actual arrest of Soros isn't anything to do with this. Powell has also alluded to possible military intelligence involvement in the recent election and cited the use of Dominion voting software in Venezuela. Rudy Giuliani corroborated Powell's claims in a recent video. Giuliani notes how Soros funds the Democrats and Antifa, and some have speculated that this may have been the trigger for his recent arrest, links to the violent riots and to threats by Antifa leaders. Well, because of the way that the FBI is, and we know that the FBI is compromised, part of me says, well, I can't really see the FBI arresting Soros. If they're not going to arrest Joe Biden for corruption in the Ukraine, or they're not going to arrest him for the corruption involving his son with the computer that they've sat on for a year, then the likelihood is that they're probably not going to go and arrest George Soros for anything. I mean, really, all of these people should be arrested for defrauding the American people with this recent election. Copies of the alleged indictment have been circulating online since last night when the arrest allegedly occurred. And then we have another one. George Soros arrested for election interference in federal custody. And where they mention here that he has these links to the violent riots and to the threats by Antifa leaders, George Soros was actually employing people to go out to these riots. There is actually a case at the moment, I think there's about 120 people that are suing George Soros for not paying them their wages. Because he was advertising for people to go to these Black Lives Matter riots and cause trouble, basically. I mean, it doesn't say in the advert to cause trouble, but that's what he is hoping they are going to do and pad out the numbers, and they would be paid to go there. And this is how these color revolutions are organized. They're funded by these oligarchs to get the people to go out there and protest for the causes that the oligarchs themselves support. And obviously, Biden is the oligarch's choice for this election. And that link there between Soros and paying these protesters, that's all there for everybody to see. And that's been there for a long time. That's been there since way back in the Obama days when Black Lives Matter first started. So why would they suddenly be arresting Soros now? But then again, we do have this indictment, and people are saying this is a genuine indictment that we are seeing here. Some fact checkers have speculated that the document is not real, whilst many others have attested to its validity. The first known publication of this document in a news story was on Your News Wire, which is a reliable conservative publication. An FBI source, and they don't tell us who this FBI source is, stated that the indictment will likely be updated to reflect election interference charges in relation to Dominion voting once the full scale of Soros's operations are known. And Soros is currently being interrogated by the FBI. But we have no idea who this source is. We can't actually qualify this. Is it just trying to get people's hopes up? I mean, if what Sidney Powell has been saying is true, then this is a massive, massive, massive fraud. It's probably the biggest crime that's ever occurred in America. And it would be hard for the FBI to try and make excuses not to investigate this. Perhaps there is a connection to Soros here. But that's just all conjecture, because we don't know for certain who this FBI source is or where he's getting his information from. It is also notable that the judge put a gag order on Soros' arrest. However, those laws don't apply to Canadian media like the Conservative Beaver. And that gag order is just like the D-notice that gets put on the press over here in Britain to try to prevent certain news from getting out. But of course, in the age of the internet, it's very difficult to do that. Rebel News, a renowned alternative media outlet, previously reported on the connection between George Soros, the Tides Foundation, and Dominion voting. And of course, Rebel News will be castigated by the mainstream media. They will call them a conspiracy theory organization, or they might call them far right. And it's actually run by a Jew, Ezra Levant, who is quite a grifter. He's very keen to make money all the time, asking for people for donations for supposedly noble causes. He's quite famous for working with Tommy Robinson, and he did help Tommy Robinson out when Tommy Robinson was in court. The best you can really say about Ezra Levant is that people that start off on Ezra Levant, quite a few of them end up working their way to Red Ice, Radio Albion, and Patriotic Weekly Review, and all the rest of the dissident right. Rebel News is a bit of a stepping stone to actually get to the truth, which is about the best that I can say about it. And this is the sort of thing that they would be investigating, and they wouldn't be putting out false information, basically. They wouldn't be trying to get people's hopes up. They know that that they could be sued, but they do have lots of legal help. Ezra Levant himself is some kind of lawyer. So you would hope that they are telling the truth here. According to their reporter, Kian Bext, Dominion voting has come under fire after their vote tabulation machines created a 6,000 vote swing in a single Michigan state county. The same machines and software were used in every single county in Georgia and in several other swing states that just sent their electoral votes to Joe Biden for now. And I think that was the swing that was noticed, and this was picked up upon, and Dominion said, well, this is just a glitch in the software. But the accusation is that it's not a glitch, it's actually a feature of the software, and it was advertised as being able to do this years ago when it was first set up in Venezuela for Maduro. This is the allegation, and this is also this swing that everybody saw that they couldn't actually cover up because it was on the news, on the main news stations. Pexty has provided evidence that suggests George Soros may have had a bigger role in the election than previously thought. A Rebel News owner, Ezra Levant, has stated to Conservative Beaver staff that the documents look real and his company will be running a similar story in the near future. And as I say, Ezra Levant is a lawyer, so he is the sort of person that would know whether this indictment is true or false. The FBI source indicated that the service is aware of Soros's operations in Canada, and Canadian police have executed a search warrant on Soros's home and offices in Toronto. Some have speculated that Soros may have rigged Canada's recent election in Trudeau's favour. When asked for a statement, Soros's lawyer did not provide an immediate response. The investigation continues. And again, you would expect Soros, if he wasn't arrested, you would expect the lawyer to immediately say that he has not been arrested. And this bit about Trudeau is interesting, isn't it? Imagine that, because apparently half of Canada didn't vote for Trudeau, and the other half did. And the other half that did were using these machines. And you have to wonder how many other elections have gone on in over the past 10 years that were using these machines that installed politicians that are to the oligarchs' favour. I mean, this could be a massive scandal. This could be a worldwide scandal that's been happening, that is going to be blown open by this. We've also had reports that the offices where this Dominion software, where they were actually counting the votes, was in Germany, and they were apparently raided by the FBI because the votes themselves were the actual adding them up, as it were. They were being sent to a server in Germany, and things could have been done there as well. So we could have a worldwide scandal unraveling over the next week or so. And I'm just waiting on what Sidney Powell does next, and where her court case goes, because she says when she reveals the contents of her court case, the effect is going to be biblical. And I really hope that it is. I mean, wouldn't that be great if all of this really did get exposed, and all of this corruption, and we were able to put a stop to the Great Reset, which is what all this ties in with. This is why they need Biden in there. This is why it's so important to them that they get Biden in there now instead of in 4 years' time. Because, you know, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Why is it so important that they prevent Trump from having another 4 years? Why could they not just wait until his term was up? And I've pointed out last week that part of this is Brexit, because they need to get Brexit set up so that it's the EU that benefits from it and it's Britain that doesn't. And if Trump was in office, then Boris Johnson, he would have been the one with the best cards, basically. He could have said, well, we don't really care about you in the EU because we know we're going to be able to work well with Trump and we're going to be able to get our trade deals with America. So now that we know that, or now that they think that Trump isn't going to be getting his second term, then Boris Johnson is going to have to eat humble pie and go to the EU. And that needs to be done by December. And of course, we have until January before the American election can be sorted out. So by the time the election is sorted out, and if they do say, well, Donald Trump is actually the legitimate president and not Joe Biden, the damage will have already been done to Brexit. But on top of that, we've also got the plans for this Great Reset, which is Agenda 21, basically. It's all the climate change stuff, the environment stuff, taking everybody's property, no more private property, all sorts of communistic ideas that they want to put in place. And they need to get them put in place now, because they're using the coronavirus as the excuse for it. That's why it's so important to them that they get Donald Trump out. And of course, because there were so many votes for Donald Trump, it has brought to light this huge scandal with this Dominion voting. So what it really comes down to now, I guess, is have we got enough good guys in the establishment? Have we got enough good guys in the courts to outweigh the bad guys? And as we know, the establishment is so corrupt, but we have still got good people there. We do still have good judges. We do still have some good politicians, some decent people that are representing us. I do think Rudy Giuliani is good. I think Sidney Powell is good. And it just all depends on whether we have people like them in the courts. And of course, Donald Trump himself has put in place some of these judges that are now in the Supreme Court. And you would hope that he would have foreseen something like this happening and made certain that we had good people in there that are going to be honest in their decisions and their judgments. But as I say, we will just have to wait and see what happens. Next news story that I've got for us today is also linked with the news story that we had yesterday with the heroes of Lucknow, the brave British soldiers that held out against the brutal Indian savages that outnumbered them 3-1 that were outside the city, armed with British weapons, because they had been soldiers actually working for the British Army, but they broke their oath, turned on their benefactors on the basis of a lie. They were told that the cartridges that they needed to put in their guns, and they needed to bite the end off first before putting them into the weapon. They were told that the end that they had to bite off was covered in either pig grease or cow grease, which is, of course, against their religion. That was a total lie. So the whole mutiny was based upon a lie. The Indians broke their oath to the British, who would never have done anything like that. The British would not have done anything like that to cause them to go against their religion, against pork and what have you. They tried to prevent them from engaging in human sacrifice, and they prevented them from burning women alive on a funeral pyre when the husband died. But as far as dietary restrictions, the British were certainly not going to try and change that or infringe upon that in any way. We never did that with the Jews that were within our country, and we would never have done that with the Hindus or the Muslims in India. The people who were at fault here were entirely the Indians, who broke their oath, as I say, and went against their benefactors. As I was talking about yesterday, there was a memorial to this that they're talking about changing. Well, the new story that we have today is about a statue of one of these heroes of Lucknow that was vandalised. It was defaced. Vandals who defaced a statue of British war hero Sir Henry Havelock with the words "racist" and "parasite" have been let off with a caution and a £450 charge towards cleaning costs. So nothing to deter these people from doing the same again. I believe it was the same with the person that defaced the cenotaph. They got very little sentence. The people that pulled down the statue of Edward Colston, they didn't even get a prison sentence. And you've got blatant damaging of public property against the democratic will of the people here, because in Bristol they had a vote. Do you want to see this statue pulled down? The vote came back with a resounding no, we do not want to see this statue being pulled down. So the mob just pulled it down anyway. And when you have a society that is based on law and order, that sort of thing needs to be punished, and it needs to be seen to be punished. The British people need to see justice being done, and it wasn't done, and it's not being done here either. These vandals have just been let off, basically. Major General Sir Henry Havelock was a veteran of the First Anglo-Burmese War, the First Anglo-Afghan War, the First Anglo-Sikh War, and the Anglo-Persian War. But he lost his life in the Sepoy Mutiny, or Indian Rebellion, of 1857, helping to relieve the besieged city of Lucknow. So this man lost his life trying to rescue the women and the children that were stuck in this city with all these savages outside it. How can the vandals be calling him a racist and a parasite when he's a hero that was trying to rescue women and children. A committed Christian, his highly disciplined forces were known as Havelock's Saints, and were in his day as renowned as Cromwell's Ironsides, according to H.E. Marshall of Our Island Story fame. He was remembered in particular for recapturing Cawnpore, where Indian rebels had slaughtered dozens of British women and children prisoners in the infamous Bibigar Massacre. Slaughter of women and children prisoners. And this is a man that went in to rescue them, and his statue is defaced with the words racist and parasite. If we honoured the memory of our ancestors, whoever it was that did this, they would at least have been given a prison sentence. I mean, why we don't get upset at the desecration of our memorials, I don't know. Just look at what the Muslim world is doing, at what they consider to be blasphemy, which is the equivalent of this. You've got the mocking of Muhammad or the insulting of Muhammad, and they go absolutely wild beheading people. And here we have the same thing. We have our heroes, our people that we've raised up in the past that were brave and courageous and rescued British people, and their memorials are being desecrated, and we just let the vandals off with a £450 charge towards the cleaning costs. Nothing to deter them from doing the same again. In the present day, however, the once beloved commander, who has memorials in Trafalgar Square, London, and Mulberry Park, Sunderland, as well as an impressive tomb in Lucknow, and a number of pubs, towns, and even an island in the Andamans named after him, is merely another symbol of colonialism and imperialism, with his statue in Sunderland, his hometown, being vandalised in June amidst the widespread iconoclasm that emerged in tandem with the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, this guy has got to be a really, really good person. For his team to be known as the Saints, Havelock's Saints, and for an island to be named after him, as well as all these different places and memorials, you know that this was an exceptionally good, courageous, chivalrous man. And he's been insulted by this Black Lives Matter movement. And our politicians and our establishment support this movement that do this, that are attacking our roots, basically. I mean, these are the men that make up our roots. These are the men that we used to emulate in the past. These are the men that inspired the British youth to try and be the same, and we're just spitting on their memory. The authorities, despite capturing the perpetrators, have opted to take very little action, letting them off with a caution and an agreement to contribute £450 towards the cleaning bill. So the cleaning bill costs more than that, basically. So they're not even being forced to pay for the cleaning. The vandals' treatment contrasts starkly with that of a pro-statues counter-protester in London earlier this year. So somebody that wants to preserve our statues and preserve our memorials, the opposite of somebody who wants to desecrate them, he was pictured urinating besides a small memorial to radical Islamic terror victim, Police Constable Keith Palmer, seemingly unwittingly in Parliament Square. And we all remember seeing this picture, and he wasn't urinating on the memorial. He was obviously going to the side of it, and he wouldn't have been urinating there if the public toilets had been open. But of course, because it was in the middle of the corona scare, all the toilets were closed, and he obviously had to relieve himself somehow. And he seemed to be being quite careful to me, because he certainly wasn't urinating on the memorial. The man was there to protect memorials. And this was just very unfortunate. The man turned himself in after realising what he had done. So he knew that it was him that was in this picture. And he went to the police and said, look, I'm very sorry, that was me. I was absolutely desperate for the toilet. I would have messed my clothes if I had not gone. And I did not go on the memorial. I carefully went to the side of it. Never mind that. Never mind the fact that he was there to actually protect these memorials. He was arrested, charged, prosecuted, and given a 2-week prison sentence within a matter of days. Within a matter of days, he was sent to prison for 2 weeks. A man that was trying to protect the memorials, and these people here that support Black Lives Matter, that were just there to deface and desecrate the memorials, they don't get a prison sentence. They get let off with a caution. This really shows us who the establishment favours now, doesn't it? It's done a complete 180. Instead of being there to preserve the British people and to further our interests, it's now there to attack the British people and preserve the interests of people who hate us. It's there to preserve the interests of people who see us as racists and parasites. And the longer it is until the people in the establishment wake up to this, because they will be going after them as well eventually. It doesn't matter how much they kneel down before the mob. Eventually, when they kneel down, they will just behead them. It's statues now that they are desecrating and defacing and destroying, and it will be people next. And we seem to be the only ones warning against it in the alternative media. But as I was pointing out earlier, there could be a turnaround if this all gets exposed, the defrauding of the American public. Then we could see a change. We could see an absolute sea change around the world if that was to be exposed, and all the connections to that, because it's all these sort of people that, as I pointed out earlier, George Soros is supporting Black Lives Matter. It's all the crowd that are supporting them and pushing these progressive ideas that are the ones that are supporting this fraud in America. It's all tied in together. It's basically the forces of order against the forces of chaos, the forces of truth against lies. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.